So grateful. Lord, what an honor. What an honor, Lord, to be in your family. Lord, you sought us out. You called us. Lord, this love affair began by you loving us first. And Lord, I just thank you that we get to live beyond ourselves. Lord, we're in a culture that is so me-oriented, and yet you call your family to be outward-oriented, to not be so inclined to just hoard everything, but instead that we share the blessings that we have with other people, that they might have a tangible, visible, really picture of who you are, and they get that through your people. So we give you all thanks and all praise. Amen, church. Amen. Go ahead and get your Bibles open and turn to the first book of Romans. Romans is the book that we're going to be on for a while. I just began the first message last week, but I want to begin by asking you this question. If you're going to write, say, not so much a text, but an email to somebody, and you would describe yourself, how would you describe yourself? Maybe a coworker for the same company that it's another state or whatever. How would you go about describing yourself? What would be the basis for that description? Would it be maybe your gifts, right? You know, I'm a whatever your gifting is. I'm an artist. Would it be your passion? You know, I'm passionate for the homeless. So that's the way you describe yourself. Would it be maybe your position, right? I'm an engineer or I'm a mechanic or something. Would that be the way you describe yourself? Maybe your status. Well, I'm a mom to three kids. Would it be your education? Well, I've got a degree in this, or I got a degree in that. How would you go about describing yourself? You know, it's interesting the way the Apostle Paul described himself. He described himself totally different because he was educated beyond a lot of the people around him. I mean, he was the top of the top, and yet the way that he describes himself is totally different. And really the way he describes himself is the way we would probably describe ourselves after we go to Mexico. And that's the way he describes himself, is that he's a servant of Jesus Christ on a mission. That's really how he describes himself. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at three designations, or what I call the Apostle Paul's credentials, and the way he describes himself. And so we're gonna look at that pretty quickly. Here we go. So turn with me to Romans, the first chapter. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Okay. He's not one of the 12, but the Lord appeared to him, so he's one of those original apostles. So he's called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, meaning that what he proclaimed was something that was proclaimed from the beginning, not something new. He was sometimes criticized, hey, you got some new gospel? He's like, no, that was God's plan from the very beginning. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, talking the human side of him, and declared to be the Son of God, that's who he was, with power, according to the holiness, to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. His resurrection from the dead really proved that he was who he said he was. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you also are called to be Jesus Christ. And this is who he's writing to. All those who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's basically, what he's saying is this: the highest privilege that you and I will have is to be willing servants of the Lord Jesus. That you cannot consider yourself a follower of Jesus Christ without being a servant of Christ. You know, and that's hard because you and I live in a culture in which it's about me, it's about my rights. It's about my rights. I have rights. Well, you know what? Part of the deal in coming into the kingdom, part of the deal being follower of Jesus Christ, is we lay down our rights. We lay down our personal ambition, our personal plans. We lay those things down and we take his up. And that's hard for people in our culture because we're like, whoa. You know, that's why it took me 10 months to make up my decision. Because I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to lay down my rights, what is he going to do with my life? Right, and I made this assumption, and I don't know why we do that it's probably going to be bad. But you know what? The opposite has been true. Since I made the agreement to be a follower of Jesus Christ, my life has been blessed every day. and it gets better and it gets better and it gets better. And in many ways, I feel like I'm just getting started. It's that good. And so I want to encourage you to be a follower of Jesus Christ if you're not. But let's look at the three designations that the Apostle Paul uses about himself. First one is this: Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. In fact, a bondservant. What is a bondservant? A bondservant is someone who agrees to serve someone else, to be bound to them, to be devoted or an attendant. You know, really the word means slave. Yet another word that we don't like in our culture. Like, what? Is Jesus calling me to be a slave? And he is, but you got to understand there's different types of slaves. And I think the Apostle Paul is looking at a slave that we would read about in Exodus 21. Slavery in that day, what would happen if somebody had purchased a slave, they would serve you for 6 years, and in the seventh year, you would let them free. But what would happen, and what he's talking about, a bondservant would say, you know what? My master's been good to me. See, not all masters were tyrants. My master's been good to me. I like my master. I like his wife. I like his kids. You know what? I'm going to make a choice to serve him for the rest of my life. And so that would be a choice that you would make to serve that master. And that's really what the Apostle Paul is describing himself. And it's interesting. It's the first identification that he makes. He doesn't go to his education. He doesn't go to whatever. He said, no, I'm a servant first. That's how he identifies himself. And that's after being a follower of Jesus for 25 years. After 25 years, he says, man, here's my description. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm servant of the living Jesus, not the dead Jesus, the living Jesus. And so to a Jew, they really viewed it as an honor to serve Yahweh. I mean, we would say in our culture, if anybody could say, hey, I'm a slave of Jesus, we're like, ooh, that's kind of weird. But to the Jew, they said, man, that's a high honor. Because some of the people that were considered servants, that were called servants of God, maybe you've heard some of these people. Moses, you probably heard about him. He didn't have a problem being called a servant of God. Joshua, you probably heard about him. He didn't have a problem. David, these are men that you and I would say, man, these are mighty men, people I want to be like. Okay, if you want to be like them, then you got to be a servant of Yahweh, the servant of the Almighty Living God. Because they're the ones that's the way they viewed themselves. And so I think that's the model that the Apostle Paul is using. In fact, in Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, it's a portion of scripture that we love to quote, and we hear people quote it, but a lot of times they don't quote it in context, because this portion of scripture is written to slaves. And listen to it, right? You'll recognize this portion of scripture. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Like, wait a minute, I've heard that verse. In fact, I probably quoted it. You mean it's written to slaves? Yeah. Okay. And I think it applies to even your place of work, because if you have a boss, he's saying, understand who your real boss is. And yeah, you have a boss, and sometimes we complain about our bosses, and we got to quit complaining about our bosses instead, because we realize we have a greater boss. And so he says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, not to men. You're not doing it to please your boss. Yeah. At one level, but really to please God, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of an inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. Once again, written to slaves. I mean, I remember my chief he just couldn't figure me out sometimes. And one of the things he couldn't figure me out is when there was a snowstorm in Oregon, you know, like everything was shut down, right? A half inch would fall of snow, and the whole town just comes to a screeching halt. And I would still get to work. I mean, one time, and this was when it really snowed this time for real. I mean, 26 was a mess, and I'm going everywhere I can. It took me 5 hours to get to work. 5 hours. And he's like, why did you show up? See, because I don't work for him. Yeah, I do at one level. He hired me. But I work as unto the Lord. So would I get lazy to the Lord? You know, Lord, hey, thanks for sending the snow. I'm sleeping in. In the flesh, I want to do that. But I realized, wait a minute, I work as unto him. So I get there, and sure enough, it'd be the chief and me. You know, I mean, everybody else used the opportunity to stay home. But a bondservant doesn't. So whatever you do, wherever you're at, be the best. That's why you hear me say, I believe Christians should be the best employees, bar none. Christians should be the best employees, bar none. The hardest working employees, bar none. Here's the second thing that the Apostle Paul refers to himself, not only as a servant of Jesus Christ, but also he says, I was called to be an apostle. He was called. And I believe you and I are called too. What's an apostle? An apostle We know the 12, right? Those that were there with Jesus from the beginning. The other apostles that were selected, including the apostle Paul, what we would call the original apostles, or people that had been with Jesus or seen Jesus. The apostle Paul was one because the Lord Jesus appeared to him. So that's why he qualified. But an apostle is one who has been sent out, someone who's been sent forth, or a messenger. He's a representative. He's an ambassador. He's someone that's commissioned. He's empowered. But the apostle Paul says this, wait a minute, I didn't just think, you know, I woke up one day, you know what, I like the whole job of the apostle. It pays good. I think I'm going to become an apostle. No, he says, the reason I'm an apostle is because I was called. And that's the way it works. I've met a lot of pastors that that became pastors because they thought it was like the romantic thing to do. It sounds cool, you know, especially young guys. I remember I went to a pastor's conference for all these young pastors, these guys that are starting churches. And I remember the guy who came and spoke to us, it was like 300 guys that were, you know, wanting to be pastors. And the guy who came forward, he says, you know, my job is to talk you out of being pastors. So this is the worst job that you'll ever do, right? Half of the churches that start fail. He goes, a lot of you guys want to be pastors because you think it's the romantic thing to do. And so my job today is to talk you out of it. I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to leave, you know. But no, you see, I can't leave because I'm called. I'm called. This was not my idea. And so that's what the Apostle Paul says. Yeah, I'm an apostle. I'm a sent out one. I'm a messenger. I'm an ambassador for Jesus. But I became that way because I was called. Not because, you know, it was something that it was my idea. I was self-appointed. It was not even my ability. Yeah, he's got a lot of ability, but he has nothing to do with ability. I'm not here because I'm like more able than I am. Quite the contrary. I think the Lord's trying to brag using me. That's the way I feel sometimes, right? The reason he doesn't use you is because you're more gifted, you're smarter than me, and all those kind of things. You're more talented than me. But with me, he can brag. Because you can come in and you say, man, I can't believe this church is growing, right? Because, you know, him? See, no, because it grows because of him, amen? That's the only reason it grows, that's the only reason it prospers, because of him and nothing else. So it's not about self-appointed, not self-driven, not peer encouraged, but instead he says, man, I am called. That's something that the Lord did. In fact, he goes on in Romans 1:6, he says, you also, right, you also are called of Jesus Christ. And you and I are called. I mean, some of you, maybe you're not called to be a pastor. Maybe you're not called to be an apostle. But maybe you're called to be right where you're at. You're an engineer at Intel. Flourish there. Maybe you're a school teacher. Flourish there. Right? Maybe you work in the trades. Flourish there. You're called. If he wanted somebody else, he would have called somebody else. But you're to flourish just where you be the best you where you're at. Amen? So he's got, and that's really God's calling is to be that which he called you. Isaiah 6:8 is a portion of scripture that pastors really love because it has to do with how Isaiah was called. It's awesome. The heavens are split. He gets to see in the heavens and he hears his angel just speaking and he says, man, everything starts shaking. I mean, that's the power of angels, right? But then it says in Isaiah 6 said, and I heard the voice of the Lord. Oh, I don't know if you ever heard the voice of the Lord. Man, amazing. You just got to slow down long enough and to hear him. It says, I heard the voice of the Lord. And he said this, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Once again, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit said, we have an assignment. And who's gonna carry out the assignment? And then from the dugout, Isaiah says, hey, here I am. Send me. See, I love that. How many of you have ever been in a dugout, right? And you know, the coach says, okay, who's up next? I never said, he is. No, guess what? If the coach doesn't know who's up next, guess who's up next? Me! See, no one's going to take my place. No one's, you know, I don't say, oh, yeah, it's your turn. I'm there, man. I'm going to swing for the fence. And that's what the Lord is asking you to do. He's called you. You got to step up to the plate, and you got to carry out what he's called you to do. If he's called you to be a mom, be the best mom. Understand that you're pouring into children that one day may lead this church or one day may lead a whole group of churches, right? Or even a movement. You don't know. You don't know. But if he's called you, flourish there. Amen? So not only was the Apostle Paul called to be a servant, just like you are of Jesus Christ, he was called to be an apostle. You and I are called. Here's the third thing that he says. He says, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel or the ministry of the gospel. He says, I'm separated. I'm not like anybody else. And you and I are not like anybody else. This word separated really is where we get our word from horizon. The Greek word is where we get the word for horizon. What he's saying, if you want to know where the land ends and the sky starts, just look into the horizon. There's a distinction, okay? The land ends there, and there's the sky. There's a distinction. That's where this word comes from. He goes, I'm separated. See, I'm separated. You know, my first understanding of being separated for God or something holy was I was in fifth grade, and there was this girl in our school that at first I thought she was weird. I'm thinking, this is kind of weird. She almost dressed like a nun, kind of. She was came from the Catholic faith. She dressed in black, but a little, you know, white. But this dress she wore for one full year, and she never cut her hair. For one full year, we thought, you know, here you're playing, you know, you're playing games with her, and she's got the same dress that she had yesterday, same dress that she had last week. Every day she wore the same dress. And I can imagine people made fun of her. I was thinking back, I wonder if I made fun of her. I didn't want to think too far, too hard. But I can imagine how hard it was for her, basically in our culture, because we care about our hair, and she let her hair grow for a whole year, wore the same dress. You know why? Because she had taken about, her mom was sick, and she had taken a vow to God, you heal my mom, and this is what I'm going to do. And I was like, oh, see, I was so into myself. I never knew that you could be separated that way, right? And then I remember this guy when I worked for Washington County. We used to make fun of this guy. We're like, what do you actually do? There was a guy for our agency, and we never knew what he did. We're like, what do you do? We know what the rest of us do, but what do you do? Well, you know, I went to his retirement about 6 months ago. He finally retired from the county. And you know, even now, after he'd worked for the county like 30 years, and people were doing tributes to him, and even after 30 years, people were saying, what did you do? What do you do? I mean, what's your job? Because he literally had that, whatever he did, for 30 years. And you know what his job was? We finally figured out he was separated to do whatever the chief wanted. Whatever he was really, his job was to do the special assignments that the chief had in mind. That's a cool job. Cool. But we were envious of him. We're like, dude, you just come and go, and you're here and you're there. But he was separated to do the special assignments. You know what? That's the way you and I should think. Lord, separate me to do something special for your name. Well, you know what? He has already. He has already. You just don't know it. And so my hope is that you will know it today. Amen. So the Apostle Paul says, man, I was separated. In fact, he said, I was separated at birth. God had a plan for me. You see, sometimes we think I've gotten away from the Lord's plan. No, you haven't. He's bringing you back. He's bringing me like, man, I made some bonehead decisions. Anybody here made a bonehead decision? Raise your hand. Okay, look around. You're in good company. Chris, get your hand up, Chris. Come on. Yeah. Everyone in this room has made a bonehead decision. And sometimes we listen to this lie that says, man, God can't use me. Well, guess what? Yes, he can. See, because the application doesn't say, I want somebody that hasn't made a bonehead decision. That's not his application. His application, I just want somebody that is willing to be a follower, somebody that's willing to step up, right? And so the Apostle Paul says, man, I was set apart to preach the gospel of God, right? To get the ministry of God out there. I'm focused on God. I'm focused on his ways. In fact, the gospel is called the good news. And I love it because the good news in that day, a lot of times when somebody in the Roman Empire heard good news, what are you talking about good news? Usually good news was announced about the emperor or something, you know, when an emperor was born or he had a kid, good news, right? Something having to do with the emperor. Well, he's saying there's one higher than the emperor. And I want to tell you about him. And in fact, I would call that the good news, right? About Jesus and how Jesus came to reconcile mankind back to the Father. And in John 5:39, Jesus said it this way, and he says it to the religious leaders of his day. You understand something? You gotta read the Bible correctly. Sometimes we read the Bible wrong. We read the Bible because we want facts. We want to know more. We want to sound like we know something. And while I'm not saying don't study the Bible to know something. But you got to understand why to study the Bible, because Jesus in John 5:39, he spoke to the religious leaders. He's speaking to Pharisees, people that had, if not most of the Old Testament memorized, all of the Old Testament memorized. These guys knew everything. And a lot of times they spent all their time arguing about the finer points of the law. And Jesus is like, you guys don't get it. Look what he says to them. He says, you search the scriptures. which is a good thing. For in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. He's saying you missed the point. It's all about me. The scriptures are meant to lead you to me. You got to come to me, not just to my word. My word is a guidepost, as it were. It's directions to me, but it's about relationship to him. Don't ever get that lost. Don't ever get that, I just read the Bible and I feel good. Come to church and I feel good, which is awesome. But it's about relationship to him. You got to get to know him. That's why you get into the word. I think there's nothing more energizing than to live the life that God has purposed for you. I mean, this is the best life that I've ever lived. This is amazing. I'm living an amazing life, a blessed life. You know why? Because I'm living what he called me to live. I mean, that's when life gets energizing. I wasted too many years doing my thing. I wasted too many years. And I thought, man, I've tried everything that's out there. And you know what? Big deal. Big deal. But this is a big deal now, right, that I live for him. So I'm going to close with this. Steve, come on up. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to kind of lead you in a decree. I'm going to have you commit to really to what the Apostle Paul said. So repeat after me. Ready? And say it the way you mean it. Say it the way you mean it. I am a servant of God.
I am a servant of God.
I am called for a purpose.
I am called for a purpose.
I am separated.
To share the gospel of God.
That's your credentials too. Amen? Amen. Amen. Everybody up. Let's worship the Lord.